Mafia Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Lone Cup Mafia Podcast. I am the main host, the Reverend Godfather. And welcome to the Walking Dead episode of our show. No, it's not going to be a single hostful. It's the interviews we managed to get at the Retro Pop Culture and Comic-Con this past April 30th in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. And the two interviews we managed to get were from Dahlia Legault and Jeremy Ambler. First up is Dahlia's, and she was a wonderful interview and a very lovely person, and we'll let her speak to you of what her experiences on the show and the whatnot, including her upcoming show that she will be having this summer on the CW. So here is Dahlia.
Hello, everyone. I'm here with...
Hi, I'm Dahlia Legault, and I play Francine on The Walking Dead.
We're at the 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic-Con on Saturday, April the 30th. It's an honor to meet you.
Dahlia.
As you said, you were part of The Walking Dead. What other project, before we dive into The Walking Dead, what other projects are you doing right now that, if you want to promote, you can promote right now?
Well, absolutely. There is a new show on the CW called Containment. Same kind of an idea, a viral outbreak happens in a city, and so they decide to quarantine part of the city with all the people who have been infected. So I will be taking part of that this summer. I believe it plays on Thursday nights on the CW, and I play one of the women who works for the government there. So there's that coming up.
To promote that a little bit more, that way CW can't really say you're not doing your job. Is there any more you could tell us about how you were picked for that role, or any?
Everything in the, especially within the Southeast, is pretty textbook. You know, everyone just has an agent. Pretty funny enough, actually, now that we have the World Wide Web going for us. I just went on tape in the city I live in. It was sent into production, and production just picked me out of everybody. And so then I get a call directly from Los Angeles saying that, you know, I'll be shipped to Atlanta and start filming with them. So...
Now to walk with, I won't say walk, but wander over to the Walking Dead. You played one of the cohorts with, I won't say everybody's most loved character, everybody likes Daryl, but I want to say the second most loved redhead on the show. What was it like being on that show?
I would say The Walking Dead is definitely the most difficult work that I've ever done, and it continues to be that way because there's really nothing glamorous about it. You get to a set that's outdoors, either it's 19 degrees cold or it's 98 degrees hot, and you're working for 12 to 16 hours in these conditions. And you're running around and you're climbing things, and by the end of the day you can barely move, but it's a great experience that way anyhow.
Did you have any, working for The Walking Dead, did you have any restrictions in reference to what you could say or couldn't say?
Oh, definitely. You sign a very, very serious non-disclosure agreement, and so even when I got onto the show, I couldn't even tell, I think I told my mother and my sister about it, but then I couldn't tell absolutely anybody else that I was taking part in it whatsoever until the episode aired, which was about 5 to 6 months after I filmed the episode.
So it wasn't like, hey, I'm on Walking Dead, and come check out the show.
Absolutely not. I had to keep it from everybody. And of course, once the episode aired, then, you know, everything blows up and, you know, all your friends are coming at you and all this kind of stuff. But I would say for good reason they keep it from the entire public. But at the same time, yeah, it's kind of hard to not share your joy and excitement with the people that you know and the people that you love, you know.
Through rumors that there is a zombie school, but did you do anything to prepare for your role?
Other than basic acting training that, you know, I do have a degree in theater and so, like, those things. But honestly, Francine has not been killed yet. She is not a zombie. I have not experienced that just yet. No, other than my basic acting training, that's about all the prep that went into it. Yeah, I was going to go somewhere else. I can't remember where I was going to go.
That's the thing. I should have rewatched the season that you were predominantly in, but I don't remember you getting killed off in any way. Was the character just wandered off to the sunset?
It's very bizarre, again, because we're not allowed to say everything, anything, and production doesn't tell you anything either. Francine is still present all throughout season six. She's not very active. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't have a lot of lines. She doesn't really do much around season six, but they did not bother to kill her off. So
in essence, you're wandering around.
Somewhere, Alexandria is not destroyed, so if they go back to Alexandria, maybe she'll have more substance within season seven, but they have not told me anything, so I have just as much of an idea as everybody else does, which is absolutely nothing.
I know you would hate... I don't want to say that you're a second stringer character-wise, but would you like to see your character more predominantly in the show?
Oh, absolutely, of course. I mean, I would say that, like, sometimes it gets a little frustrating where I ask myself, well, what are they doing with her, especially if they didn't choose to kill her off in season six, it means they must be trying to do something with her, right? I mean, I don't know. And so, of course, I would love nothing more than become, an official recurring or regular character on The Walking Dead. That's what I've been hoping from the minute I got booked. So, but again, you know, it's all up in the air.
Since you're still considered part of the show, have you kept up with the show, or do you watch yourself?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's kind of funny because I started watching The Walking Dead just as, some prep to see what kind of shows I would be auditioning for ever since moving to the Southeast. Vampire Diaries shoots in Atlanta. The original shoots in New Orleans. What is the other one called? Can't remember. There's about like five or six other shows that shoot within the Southeast. So it's always a good idea to start watching the shows that you would be auditioning for. So I started watching The Walking Dead, and funny enough, I just became a rip-roaring, obsessed fan with it, as most other people do. And then about 3 months after me just starting to watch a show, I was booked onto the show. So I do keep up with it. I keep up with it also because whenever I get onto set and I'm doing work there, they don't give me the script for the entire episode. I don't get to read the entire episode when I go and do work on set. So I have no idea what's happening episode to episode, even though I've taken part in a fragment of the episode.
I think that's, I won't say standard, but me being old school, I'm not going to ask you your age. That's a standard. You don't ask, one of the major rules, you don't ask a woman her age. That me being a fan of different genres over the years, hearing various actresses and actors say, they don't give me the end of the script because I'm a chattermouth.
Yes.
The
yes.
chattermouth.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So that being said, because you're keeping track, do you have any theories on who bit the bucket? I'm not going to say, do you know,
but
do you have any theories on who bit the bucket?
So I don't know. And actually, I don't think the rest of the cast does either. They do start shooting again next week. So I'm sure everybody will find out soon enough. Or the rest of the cast will find out soon enough. But when I was talking to people at other Walker Stalker cons, none of those larger actors knew who they were going to kill off either. So, do I have my theory? My theory is that it's still going to be Glenn. That's my theory.
That's what I'm hearing. It's Glenn. Theory. Some say it's Rick. Some say...
It's definitely... They're not killing Rick off. Rick is the backbone of that show. Even though he's not the most likable character anymore. Even though he's not the most, I would say right now, Daryl... beats
level.
Yeah, Daryl beats everybody. Actually, Carol now is beating Rick in a lot of stasises, and then I think Abraham as well. But you kill Rick off, the show doesn't exist anymore. So
I've been hearing one fan theory that I heard is that it's someone based on, they actually drew up a map of where the RV and everybody's kneeling. Have you seen that?
Basically, it's
somebody completely different than what's the people there. It's like, it's someone else that's kneeling that you don't see. because of the tree line.
What? So not one of the main...
It's not one of the main cast. It's someone else.
No, I don't. I think somebody main definitely dies. Somebody dies every season.
Someone major.
Somebody major dies every mid-season. And then granted, this is the first year that they didn't kill somebody off in season, or they did not show who was killed off in the season finale. So somebody definitely, I think they would cheat everybody out dramatically if it wasn't somebody predominant.
The thing is, my thoughts are, what if it's Maggie? Because she's...
Her being pregnant, I think, would have far too much...
Much repercussions.
Yes. I think that would be far too... what's the word I'm looking for? Just...
too troublesome, and... I've also thought it was Rick, too, because of how...
It would surprise me, but again, I think if you take Rick out, the whole show will just crumble. You know, I think... I would say, you know what? What if it's Carol? You know what? The fact that she was about to leave.
Yeah.
You know? She's about to leave.
That would be a decent twist.
That would be a decent twist because it'd be devastating to everybody.
It would be a WTF to everybody.
But
if Carol gets it, I'll state right here that M. Night, you got to pay attention. That's how you do a twist, right?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, so no, let's go with that. I'm changing my mind.
That it's, Carol. Carol steps up
Carol
and says, let me take
she
the one vote.
Believe, man. That makes the most
with
sense.
With her moral
thing and changing everything, that's when you know someone's going to get it. Don't you think?
Well, Rick also kind of became... what's his name? Like how everybody said, his wife and his partner had an affair, and he became the dominant, you know, I don't want to say prick, but that's what he became. Now, Rick is becoming that, almost that level of a prick, that he's also doing that personality change, even though he's the backbone.
But he's done a bunch of personality changes, don't you find? You know, he went from a hero, and then after his wife died, that he kind of lost his mind. And then getting into Alexandra, he almost, you know... I think Alexandra, when they first got in there, and he just became extremely... He became, you know, an a-hole. He became an absolute a-hole. And, like, I actually started to dislike Rick quite a bit when he first got into Alexandria. You know, I think it was episode 515, where Michonne had to, like, punch him in the side of the head in the last 2 seconds of the show. Do you not remember that?
I think so.
Yeah, he's about to shoot, what's his name? Jess's husband. He's about to shoot, and then Michonne comes and like punches him in the side of the head, and then he's like tied up. You know, there was a minute where he had to be
kind of taken down.
But now he's come back around. You know, him and Michonne have a nice relationship going on, which was surprising to everybody, but I think I'm like, okay, well, that's cool. That's okay.
I think at that point, I was like, when you see his son kind of walk in, it's like, dude, it's the zombie apocalypse. You got to find some sort of hookup. Even now, you're kind of finding a hookup yourself. Go at it, you know?
Yeah.
Take what you can get.
Yeah.
But that... Some minor characters seem to have taken the bucket this past season. Do you think they could have pulled that off with us to have a minor character?
Well, definitely. I would say the most minor character who was in that group of people would probably be Aaron.
Aaron's the nerdy, awkward one, right?
Aaron was the one who was the scout who went and found them and brought them to Alexandria.
I'm thinking it might be that nerdy, kind of awkward guy as well, too, because he handed over the bullet recipe. He's been kind of stepping up as the main character you want.
Oh, you mean Eugene?
Eugene.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I mean...
It could be almost anyone.
It could be almost anyone. But I think for them to really... I think they're going to put a punch in everyone's face.
How many fans do you see that, even though it might be, let's say, they take out Carol, and half the fan, you know, fandoms. You come to walk, you go to walk. You're a guest at Walk of Soccer. You're a guest here. You hear the fans. I think it might be Rick. I think it might be Eugene. I think it might be Daryl. Long shot, but you know, but at the end when next season starts, let's say it's Carol. I knew all along. Do you see that a lot?
I mean, yes. I would say I haven't been to like a Walker Stalker or a Comic-Con. Well, actually, I'm lying about that. So when Glenn was underneath the dumpster, that whole thing ensued, where everybody was like, is Glenn dead or not? So, yes, there's a lot of people who come back, and there's a lot of theories that are discussed at these events. A lot of theories. And sometimes, you know, you're talking to a person for 10 or 15 minutes about what is it's going to happen or what it is they thought that was going to happen and what they thought it was that should have been done.
Speaking of shows, what was your first show experience being in touch with the fans and so forth?
It was the Walker Stalker that happened Halloween in Atlanta last year. So that was my first one. And pretty crazy. I will say, because Francine is a minor character, you know, I didn't have as much as a turnout as you know, the main people. But it was still great to, like, you know, to communicate with, you know, like, fans. And I communicate on a very, like, one-to-one level with everybody. You know, I have conversations with them, as opposed to the other people who don't have time. You know, all the other people have time for is just to sign the autograph and just, like, you know, get people in and out of line. So it's very cool. I would say what I like the most, though, about these large conventions is actually hanging out with the other people who are working the convention. You know, my celebrity managers, the people, you know, the people who run the Fan Fest and the Walker Stalker Con. Those are my favorite people. I consider these people my best friends now. You know, the other people I get to meet, you know. I got to share a traveling fan with Robert Englund at the last one I was at. Robert Englund talked my ear off for like 15 minutes about Penny Dreadful and all this kind of, you know, so it's these other people that I'm meeting that's what
blows. He's one of the major celebrities I still like to meet because of he was a guest on Mad TV many, many years ago. I still want to meet him and go, how many people have come up to you and said, I liked you in V? Because he's one of those who's most recognized for Freddy and so forth. But we're here to talk about you. Have you done other stuff that other than the new CW show and Walking Dead?
Other than TV and film gigs, not just yet. I would say that most of my career has been in theater. So I think I might actually be returning to more theatrical events within the next year. Just because I miss it. It's a completely different vibe, a completely different art form, and I miss it quite a bit. So I think I'll be returning to do some theater within the Northeast.
To take a break and
kind of recenter, kind of, I don't know, find my roots again, you know? Yeah, I would say, and to me, like, my TV work hasn't been consistent, unfortunately. So, and I'm starting to just miss my work. So, probably going to go back.
From what I hear, a lot of people who work in the theater, it's a great way to hone their craft and so forth. Do you find that too as well?
I mean, yes, but I would say it's just completely different. You know, you have a storyline that has, you know the beginning of end of every single one, and I would say that to me, it's just as professional as anything else. You know, I think if you go to like Los Angeles, a lot of people do theater, but only because they're trying to get more, you know, more face time within the film and TV industry. But I think it's its own business. Completely own business. You go to Chicago and you go to New York and there are certain actors who have no interest in doing television or film. No interest, you know.
If a role came off across your desk that might interest you, would you do like a major movie or?
Oh, of course, absolutely. You know, if it was offered to me, of course. I mean, of course, I'd have to read the script and see who I'd be working with. But of course, but it's more of a thing where you know, the consistency with the work is a hard thing to come by. within TV and film, as opposed to theater, where, you know, you could start, you know, a theater show and do it for an entire year consistently.
Even though I've never done a theater performance, I hear it can be a little bit tough because it's the same thing day in, day, almost the same thing day in. It gets a little bit tiresome to some people.
I could say that sometimes it can get monotonous, yes, but at the same time, the nice thing about theater is that you get the opportunity to do something different with it every single night, you know, and it's never, you'll never do the performance the same way because it's live. You'll never do it the same way at any two performances.
Well, I'm willing to say you can't really be a part of Hairspray and come out on stage and go, Oklahoma, you know.
but also you
can get in trouble.
Well, I mean, one, I don't do musicals. Musicals might be a little different, but like within you know, straight theater, what happens is that you're reacting off of the audience that you have, and especially let's say you're doing comedy. Let's say you're doing like Neil Simon, right? You do it one night and people are laughing every 5 minutes, and then you do it the second night and for some reason nobody is laughing at all. Somehow that will start to affect that the way that you're, you know, the way you're performing, the way you're reacting, you know, the way that you and your other actor friends are on stage. Sometimes you and the other actor on stage, even though you're saying the lines, you're communicating to one another in some sort of a strange way, like, you know, hey, we need to do something here. Or then sometimes you have a person who misses
especially
a line.
Especially if it's a comedy.
That, you know, yeah. And so
you begin the aspect, is my timing off?
And then, like, you know, this whole thing starts, and because it's live, it's just, and you can't stop, you know. It's not like film or TV where you're like, oh, sorry, cut, let me do that again. You know, I mean, it's not that you have like a million takes to do. You don't have that in TV or film. You know, sometimes the most you get is three. So if you don't get it right the first time, you know, you're not doing your job right. But the same, you know, simultaneously, theater, you don't have that option whatsoever. Whatsoever. If you don't do it right the first time, then you've just ruined the entire thing for everybody. So.
Well, looks like the con's trying to get a little bit started up. I'll let you be and have fun with the guests. It's nice speaking to you, and we hope to catch you on the CW this fall, or is it this summer?
It's this summer. I'm not sure it'll... I'm not entirely sure when it is.
Well, either way, we'll keep it on CW, and we'll probably review it on our show when it comes through. So, again, thank you for being on the show, and nice meeting you.
You too.
Welcome back, folks. That was Dahlia Legault, and again, as you heard, it was a great interview, very energetic. Next up is Jeremy Ambler, who tells us what it was like being a zombie, some of the other roles he's been in, and so forth and so on. I'll let him do a lot of the talking now. Here's Jeremy Ambler.
Hello, everyone. I'm here with I'm still at Four State Retro Pop Culture Con in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. I'm here with Jeremy Ambler. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
He was one of the many zombies on The Walking Dead. You weren't just on Walking Dead, you do other work as well. What are you currently working on?
Well, you know, I just got done working on a film back in October called Gifted, and it's a movie with Chris Evans from, you know, to play Captain America in the Avengers movies, and, of course, Captain America, the films. And I play a meth addict in that. They give me a fake tattoo and all kinds of crazy stuff to wear, and it's you know, it's really awesome. Really awesome.
Word out of the Walking Dead camps is that the training to be one of the walkers is relatively rigorous. Was it that rigorous, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's work. It's fun, but it's work. You know, as far as Walking Dead goes, you know, it's just like having a second family, pretty much. The whole cast and crew are all wonderful people. And, you know, I played Season 2, Episode 1, and Episode 13. Episode 1, I actually played the co-leader of the Highway Walkers. So when everybody, you know, is hiding underneath the cars, and everybody's going crazy and scared and hiding, and T-Dog cuts his arm on the car door, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And Glenn and Shane are underneath the water truck, and I come from around the corner from the water truck. So I did that one, and then I did episode 13. I was a farm hair walker, and I got shot in the head by Jimmy before he got eaten in the RV.
What is from your perspective, what is the appeal of the zombie genre?
Well, you know, ever since Walking Dead came about, like, the zombies is on a whole different level now. It's just, it's like a big major deal now, and it's zombie everything, pretty much.
Is it, some people in the horror community think that there's a cycle, meaning out some years vampires are popular, some years werewolves are popular, some years zombies are popular.
Yeah.
Is it zombies now because of The Walking Dead, or are they always the back burner because of...
Well, you know, with, I mean, as far as Walking Dead goes, I mean, that's... Without the zombies, you wouldn't really have a show, you know? So I think that's where the attraction comes in, pretty much, with us, with the walkers.
What other works have you been on that people will know you for?
I was in the movie The Road with Viggo Mortensen. I was in Child of God with James Franco. I had a small speaking part in that. And then I was also with... also was in a movie with Ricky. It was also in Walking Dead, called The Town That Dreaded Sundown, which is the remake of the 1970s film. I play the gas station geezer in that. And I get shot in the head by the Phantom Killer.
Since it's a remake, what is your take on remakes? Some people have like a love-hate relationship.
I've been in a few remakes. I was in The Crazies. I was in The Town That Dreaded Sundown. Those were actually decent, good remakes. You know, when you get into the level of like Friday the 13th and stuff like that, they're not very good at all.
Personally, I think the Nightmare on Elm Street wasn't that good, but the Friday the 13th was a little bit better quality.
Somewhat.
But as a project, as an actor, even though you had a lot of smaller roles, what would you, as an actor, would like to play?
Mm-hmm. As far as smaller roles, what's
it doesn't
favorite?
Matter. Not doesn't matter. What would you like to play?
Oh, what would I like
yeah.
to play? Well, you know, I've played a variety of characters. Historical characters. You know, real-life characters in the historic era. I've played zombies. I've played dying people.
That'd be the case. What has been your favorite?
You know, that's hard to say. I've enjoyed every single role that I've ever got.
I think when I try to look you up on IMDb, uh-huh. you do a lot of B movies, smaller roles. Is that true, or is that somebody else?
No,
I'm trying to.
That's me, but I've only been in a couple indie films. Yeah, most of them are major motion pictures and TV shows.
So. Do you feel that the indie market, being part of that, it is not only held to a higher bar, but is adding something to something that might be stale in the modern market or the mainstream market?
I don't really know. I mean, the indie films, it's either a hit or not a hit, as far as stuff like that goes. So it's either it's successful or it's not.
So, it's kind of hard to gauge indie films because, right. like you said, the aspect of uh-huh. some are extremely low quality,
right.
the story's there, but somehow something's lacking.
Right.
Do you see some the potential of, hey, we can, or...
It all depends, really. It all depends. It depends on who your director is and the quality and the storyline. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. It just, you know...
I'll say personally, like, let's take Hardcore Henry. It didn't come up as a mainstream movie, but it was coming up as something that, hey, look at what you can do as an option. It was more as a demonstration movie.
Absolutely.
Do you see films like that presenting an idea to the mainstream audience being a little bit more popular, or...
I don't know. I mean, some of those films are marketed, and if they get that market and they get out there, especially like that film, it really just depends. You know, there's an audience for that sort of thing. You know, because it's the first-person shooter type film.
Like, I'm thinking that it could add an essence the way The Matrix kind of did in reference to some of the effects.
Somewhat, yes.
I wouldn't say popular, but it's the way of, hey, this you can now do certain aspects of certain scenes this way.
Yes. Yeah, it varies. It depends.
What was your first con experience in reference to The Walking Dead or otherwise?
The very first convention I did, I actually did a convention up in London, Kentucky, and it was a major convention. Like we saw so many people at that convention. By the time it was done, you know, I ended up getting the con crud for about 2 weeks. So it was
exhausting.
It was pretty crazy, yes.
How were the fans like at that show? Was it strictly a horror show, or was it a show like this?
It was a mixture of people, kind of like this. And it's always wonderful to come out and, you know, meet the fans and you know, make their day and talk to them and all that cool stuff. So.
Okay, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. As soon as this episode's up, I'll send you the link to the episode. And
absolutely.
Nice speaking with you. And where can we find you at?
Facebook. I do more Facebook than anything now, so you can find me on Facebook under Jeremy Ambler or my fan page at Jeremy TWD Ambler.
So. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. There you go. How's that?
Yeah, very well.
Awesome.
Again, that was Jeremy Ambler, everyone. And thus concludes our Walking Dead episode. Stay tuned. We still have one other episode from Rocho Pop Culture and Comic-Con. And we still have plenty other episodes coming your way, including some still from the Chocolate Festival. So, as always, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram by using the same username, which is Long Coat Mafia. We are found on Facebook, which is the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. And our email, if you want to email us any type of suggestions, comments, smart remarks, or whatever you feel like emailing us, please do so. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And we will read your emails and messages on the air. And if we get a lot of messages, and we will create a whole email episode strictly dedicated to you. And let's see, Facebook, email, Instagram, Twitter, our website. Yeah, that's right, our website. Our website is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You can find all our episodes there, including the ones from our beta days about a year ago. And you could find us on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio, whichever seems best suited for your needs. Again, thank you for listening. Goodbye, and stay tuned for more episodes.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable!
Oh, come on, it's a classic! The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun!
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys! I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.